Today's podcast is brought to you by Howie's new book, Paperboy. To order today, go to HowieCarshow.com and click on store.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's the Grace Curley Show.
We've got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald and the Spectator.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Here's the millennial with the mic, Grace Curley.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show, and happy Friday to all of you. Thank you so much for joining us today, and thank you to Emma Foley for being in studio.
My pleasure.
For what's becoming quite the fan favorite, and that would be Last Call with Emma Foley.
Last Call!
Time now for your end-of-the-week wrap-up with Emma Foley. It's Last Call.
Last Call.
Last Call.
Last Call.
Let's go! Last Call!
Last Call!
Last Call! Let's go!
Last Call, everybody.
This is when Emma fills us in. What's going on in the world? What we missed this week? What's on her mind? So what do you got today, Emma?
Of course, we know Biden visited Wawa, Center City, Philadelphia. But we didn't talk about what he ordered from the Wawa.
Yeah, should we? Does the sound make sense to play right now, Jared, of Joe Biden? No, okay. Yeah, he goes into this Wawa. There's no one there. They've clearly made sure that it's completely empty for him. It's just him, the mayor, and the person at the register. And it looked like they had some things already planned that he was going to pick up. Like he had to take this big box with him. But then he did order a drink, right?
Strange, scripted atmosphere, totally unorganic. They definitely went in and cleared the place out. Secret Service did up. He got an Italian hoagie. Now, here's the problem.
Oh, okay. And you're a Wawa girl, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
He ordered it
This whole thing was staged.
He ordered it with American cheese, which is weird. You don't do that. And so this is from the Philadelphia Inquirer, which is a left-leaning publication local down in Philly. They even said in parentheses, this is odd. He ordered an Italian hoagie with American cheese. This is odd.
What kind of cheese is typically used?
Provolone.
Provolone. Okay.
And then a black and white milkshake, which of course is supposed to be a metaphor, and a dozen pretzels, a dozen assorted pastries.
Oh, so he thinks that the black and white milkshake is like what Jerry Seinfeld says about the black and white cookie. You know, it's unifying people all over.
Got sure.
It.
Yep.
Okay.
I think that was totally scripted. He also got two orders of mozzarella sticks.
Yum.
Which you don't get mozzarella sticks from Wawa. That's also weird, unless it's like 3 a.m. Maybe two bottles of Coke, and then a probiotic yogurt, which I believe.
Oh God, this is so gross. This is like, oh, this could be a disaster.
I believe the probiotic yogurt was for Mayor Sherelle Parker, according to sources.
It's a lot.
Diggle back better.
It's a lot of dairy between the American cheese, the provolone cheese, the yogurt, the milkshake. I mean, someone's going to be bound up.
But I would have preferred. So when Trump goes into the Chick-fil-A, he says 30 milkshakes, do it. Everybody gets a milkshake. Be happy about it. No probiotic milkshakes.
I know, but when he says 30 milkshakes, that to me is, you got to give some. That's like Matt. Remember when Matt was on the board for me and I said, when you go into a diner and you order eggs, how do you like them? And Matt says, it doesn't matter. And I go, no, I know it doesn't matter, but what would you say in a diner? And he goes, I would just say whatever. That was the most psycho thing Matt's ever said in his time here. I said, you would say whatever to a waitress? Like, bring me whatever for the
surprise
eggs?
Me.
Yeah, dealer's choice? That's psychotic. So I feel like if someone comes in and goes 30 milkshakes, I mean, I would say, give me 10 vanilla, 10 half and half, 10, you know, go crazy, strawberry or something.
Right. John Fetterman, your favorite senator from Pennsylvania, also weighed in. He said that he's not into Biden anymore because he's a Sheetz guy. So you have the Wawa Sheetz rivalry. Fetterman's a Sheetz guy, and Biden visited a Wawa. So controversy there.
And you're there. A Wawa girl.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So Wawa takes up the southeastern part of the state.
Throw that chicken up there on my mom!
Sheetz is out
playing
west.
All your food cuts right now.
And, well, speaking of which, Meatball, that took place in Philadelphia, and it's a reason why Wawa's in Center City have been shuttered. So they're closing down Wawa's in Center City. Seven have been shut down.
Everybody must eat!
I have a question. Why is Wawa so popular? Like, wait, what is so great about it? I know people love, for example, Publix, you know, in Florida. It's very clean. They have good deli. They, you know, you can get a lot of things there. What is so special, in your opinion, Emma Foley, about Wawa?
So it's Delaware County based. So it's Pennsylvania based. And You have the hoagie. You can get a hoagie almost any hour of the day. Now you have 24-hour Wawas. You didn't have those all the time, but, you know, they're growing and expanding. There are now some in Florida, so we should ask Howie if he's visited one. Then they also added gas stations. You can really get whatever you want at whatever time. It's high-quality hoagies.
Yeah, Emma yesterday was lecturing us all on how great Wawa is, because, like, once in a while her, you know, Pennsylvania strong strength comes out and she starts lecturing us and she goes, you can get a hoagie there like first thing in the morning. You can't do that around here. And I said, I've never been in the mood for a hoagie at like 8 a.m.
See, you don't
let me
know.
Get a breakfast Italian, please.
If you want chicken salad at 5:30 in the morning, you can do that. And it's a freedom that you don't have here in Massachusetts.
Maybe that's, you know, how we did a poll question yesterday. Why are people leaving Massachusetts? Maybe that's why. They can't get their chicken salad.
No 5 a.m. hoagies.
No 5 a.m. chicken
Everyone's
salad.
Everyone's going to Florida. Maybe that's why.
Actually, speaking of Pennsylvania, though, can I play one of these cuts? Because this was a Pennsylvania voter yesterday. Everyone's, you know, there. I'm sure that they're being encouraged by the Biden administration. Hey, show up. Welcome him here. Hold up a sign. And this voter was not a fan. This is what he had to say about Joe Biden. Can I get cut one, please?
The thing is, you know, you got all these people here for this guy named Biden, right? We got a lot of people, veterans in the street, suffering. You got low-income families where he actually came to visit, struggling, but you got migrants, immigrants coming over here illegal, and they're helping people. When are you going to help the American people? That's what I would like to know, you know? And then you pull our troops from Afghanistan, make us look weak as a country. Now people don't take us serious. They laugh at us. They look at us like a joke. And then not on top of that, you're not like mentally capable of running a country, bro. Get, you know? Like,
who is?
Trump. Trump is, listen, he's quick to push buttons, but that's what we need. We need an iron fist for this country. Because Biden, he's going through Alzheimer's. He's a joke. Trump, he don't play around, man. He gets things done, and he gets, you see action. You see action, man. He gets things done. We don't need this piece of in office. We need, I'm sorry, my bad. We need Biden, bro. I mean, not Biden. We need Trump. Bring Trump back, because he got things done, and we've seen results. Actually, stimulus checks that were handed out to people. What is Biden doing? But being weird and can't even make speeches. Some of the say doesn't even make sense. I don't even understand what he's saying. So, Trump, please come back, man. We need you, bro.
Best line in that, just being weird. I can't disagree. I would label the talking about how your uncle was eaten by a cannibal as being weird.
Oh yeah, he's very good at the weird.
And telling people how kids give you the middle
it's
finger.
Weird.
There's so much of it that's weird, but that was a voter in Pennsylvania. All right, Emma, what else you got?
All right, so this is a story out of the Post-Millennial, new today. Girl Scouts chapter is going to host Ghost Thruple Influencer at their empowerment events. So I'm sorry, everyone, but if you needed another reason to stop buying the cookies, this is it. So they're going to be hosting a lesbian ghost influencer who claims to be involved in a thruple, which means three people in a intimate relationship, with her ghost hunter girlfriend and a 6'6" tall, blonde, blue-eyed ghost man named Rupert, who apparently was a British soldier from Wales in pre-revolutionary America.
So this person identifies...
There's also a thing called ghost guns.
This person identifies as a ghost.
No, her boyfriend is a ghost.
So, is he part of the thruple?
Yes.
Okay, so somebody in this thruple identifies as a ghost.
No, he is a ghost. So there are two living people.
Oh, so she has an imaginary friend, is what you're saying?
Yes.
And that imaginary friend is considered part of the thruple?
Sure, yes.
So in reality, there's two people in a relationship and they pretend that there's another third.
Yes.
Okay.
She's 29 years old. She went to Elon University for acting. And she said...
Ah, fellow thespian! I see.
Yeah, maybe. So her work dried up in 2020. There was no acting to be had. And so she now has gone to TikTok, obviously. She does skits where she pretends that she is speaking to a ghost and that she dresses up as some sort of period piece situation. We do have a cut. This is cut 14, where she talks about how she got to TikTok.
Okay.
How I got here on TikTok. Most of my life I was in the theater, so I did a lot of acting. I was a professional performer, producer, and playwright. And using artistic talents is a great way to tap into psychic talents. So we all have these abilities. It's just understanding how they work for us.
Oh, I didn't know that. See, I would say I have artistic talent, and I haven't tried to tap that into, what was the thing she said?
Psychic abilities. Clairvoyance, if you will. There's also, yeah. I learned this.
Crystal ball stuff.
In my research, there's clairsalience, which is when you can smell things that don't exist. So this is her job now, and she's on TikTok, and she gives people advice on how they can tap into their psychic abilities and reading tarot, all things of the occult.
Hold on. I'm always fascinated because Jared rarely will like signal that he wants to talk. I'll say, Jared, what do you think about this? And I kind of draw it out of him. It's rare that he looks at me and says, like, I have something to say here. What do you have to say about this? What she's talking about.
All right. I am in no way disparaging actors. I was one myself. I was in high school drama club. I did a couple of short films in L.A. Like, actor friends.
I've seen. Have you seen the film that he's in?
No.
We'll have to go back to
later. There's only room for one thespian in the studio, okay?
So I am not disparaging actors in any way. But if you are claiming that you are in a relationship with a ghost, and then you go on and tell me that you are a professional pretender, how am I supposed to take you seriously?
See, that's a common pattern. Dylan Mulvaney was also an actor, a failed actor at that.
Do you think the ghost that they're talking to, what period is this ghost from?
Pre-revolutionary
okay.
era. Which
I was
could mean
say,
anything, really.
Can we get the description of the ghost again?
He's 6'6", tall, blonde hair, blue eyes. He goes by Rupert, and he saw her walking in the woods once and didn't want her to walk alone, and so that's how they met.
Oh, that's their meet cute.
Yes, and so this woman,
okay,
Rebecca, the ghost girl, is going to speak to young girls about being an influencer and going viral.
And meeting ghosts.
Yes, so she is the role model for our youth.
I really haven't bought Girl Scout cookies in a long time because nowadays they make Girl Scout cookies
the
at
dupes.
The supermarket.
Yeah.
They make the dupes. And I don't know. And then on occasion, when someone does have a box of Girl Scout cookies, it's one of those things where I just think that they tasted better when I was young. You know, like now I'm just kind of over it. I can't describe why.
Yeah. I mean, the girls are cute, so you feel bad passing them up. But
what's your favorite kind of Girl Scout cookie?
The Samoas.
Oh, yeah. Those are good.
Yeah.
I like a thin mint in the freezer.
Oh, yeah. Can't go wrong. Classic.
All right, Emma, we got to wrap it up here. I thank you very much for that story, and we will be back with more. Also, we have an update for you on Al Roker. So Al Roker, the only times I really have heard anything about Al Roker is when he is interviewing Joe Biden at like the Macy's Day Parade or at the Easter Egg Roll, and Joe Biden is struggling to get through the softball interviews. Well, Al Roker's in a little bit of trouble because apparently he is the head of a PBS show. He helped create it, his production company, and it's called Weather Hunters. It's on PBS. It's a kid's show. And according to some of the writers on this show, they are not adhering to DEI guidelines in the way they should. They're almost kind of trying to circumvent them. So they'll say like, oh, let's bring in white writers and they can write the show, and then we'll just bring in a couple of black writers to look it over after, rather than actually hiring black writers. And so we'll talk a little bit about this new lawsuit that has been brought in front of a judge to see if Al Roker has been failing to implement DEI standards on this PBS kid show. Face it, the world is a scary place. It seems like the current administration is on a mission to make life more dangerous while at the same time making it harder for Americans to protect themselves. Luckily, FlipLock is here and it can help you protect your family. The FlipLock security door lock is unpickable, unbreakable, and it's 10 times stronger than a deadbolt. I could try to explain to you the mechanics of it. It's a lot easier if you just go to FlipLock.com and watch the video. It's really cool. It's one of those things that you'll see it and you'll say, oh, that's so simple. I wish I had thought of that. And then, you know, I could be the inventor of FlipLock. But you're going to want to get your hands on this because it really does work. And it's a nice last line of defense so that you're not relying on, you know, security camera footage or Wi-Fi or just these high-tech things, which are great, but you want something there if all else fails, and that's the FlipLock. It's affordable, it's easy to install, and it gives you peace of mind, which is truly priceless. In fact, this simple design is so effective and so trusted that the Revere Public School Systems installed FlipLock in their classrooms. So if you want to get one for your home, I really recommend it. If you want to send one maybe to a grandkid or to a child who's just in a dorm for the first time or moving out of the house for the first time, it's a great way to know that your loved ones are safe. Go to FlipLock.com and save 20% with code GRACE20. It's FLIPLOK.com. Don't forget to use code GRACE20 to save 20%. We'll be right back.
Follow Grace on Twitter at @G_Curly. This is the Grace Curley Show.
That Raspberry Beret. Great song. You know, I put out today on Twitter, Jared, I said, what's a song that always makes you cry? Like when you hear it, you go, oh, there's no chance I'm not going to cry. I got so many responses on this. Really good stuff from people. A lot of country, I noticed. A lot of country songs make people cry. 844-500-4242. I got to say, so KJP was at the podium, right, for this White House press briefing. Utterly pathetic. Let's talk about this for a minute. We've got Antony Blinken, Secretary of Spotify in Capri, drinking limoncello, talking about how we really hope everything doesn't get out of hand with Israel. Like, we're such great allies right now, aren't we? We're constantly, like, leaking things. Biden's really mad at BB. BB's a big jerk. And then you've got Antony Blinken. We just want everything to calm down. Then you have this press conference. So I just want to lay this out for people. And, you know, one of the texters, this is why I love you guys. One of the texters said, Grace, you can play that game today. What if it were Trump? You say you do it once a week, and I haven't done it this week, I guess. But you can do it all the time. It's like, can you imagine? I had to write this down because Israel is our biggest ally in the Middle East. They just shot weapons into Iran, the biggest state sponsor of terrorism. Karine Jean-Pierre, the mouthpiece for the President of the United States, says the administration has no comment.
I know there's a lot of interest in reports from the Middle East overnight, and we understand that, we get that. I'm going to say it now, though I know you all will certainly ask me about it, that we do not have any comment on the reports at this time.
You think we were Switzerland? We are the number one world power, and we have no comment on the fact that our biggest ally, first of all, had weapons shot at them over the weekend and responded. And this is what we have to say about it. I know you guys are going to ask me, but I have no comment. Let the Trump administration try that. Let the Trump administration try that and see how well that works for them. And speaking of that, you know, I had somebody call me this morning and said, you know, Grace, why don't these families of the hostages, why aren't they speaking out more on TV and stuff? And I said, they are. They're just not getting any coverage. And if this were happening with any other president, especially with Donald Trump, you would know all of their faces, especially the American hostages that are still being held captive by Hamas. You would know all of their faces. You would know all of their names. It would be 24/7 coverage. And you never hear about it. You wouldn't even know. If you were an alien that came down from Earth and you watched the news, you would not even know that Americans were being held hostage by Hamas or that anyone, Israelis, were being held hostage. They just don't talk about it. It's insane. Today's poll question is brought to you by Local Silver Mint, located in Ware, New Hampshire. Silver Dave will work with you directly. Contact him at localsilvermint.com. Jared, what's the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Today's poll question, which you can vote in at gracecurlyshow.com, is what issue do you think young voters care the most about? The economy, student loan debt, the Middle East, abortion, climate change, or illegal immigration?
I say the economy.
The economy is in the lead at 35%. 19% for climate change, 18% for illegal immigration and student loan debt.
Full jury.
8% for abortion and 2% for the Middle East.
Full jury has been seated in the Trump NYC criminal trial. Karen Reed trial, they're saying hopefully they'll get the full jury by Monday and then they'll start the case or the trial on Tuesday. We'll be back with a story about Al Roker and so much more. Don't go anywhere.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio.
I'm afraid I've set us on a bad path by bringing up my theater background. That prompted Jared to enlighten us all with the fact that he also has an acting background. Joy. Wonderful news. And now
my own IMDb page.
Now he's showing us all the short film that he started. It actually doesn't look terrible, Jared. It looks like it was pretty well done.
Yeah, it won the 2009 Pan-African Film Festival in Los Angeles.
You're okay. Very
It was
good.
Only in it for a short amount of time. But
you didn't get, like, you wouldn't say you were a supporting role or anything. You were
no,
just...
no.
How many lines did you have?
I think I had a total of 5 or 6.
And what's the plot here? You describe the plot.
So this takes place, there's a guy in Afghanistan, and that's, I was Afghani, and, you know, I had to learn some Dari, I believe was the dialect for that one. But basically he sends his daughter to America where she gets entangled up in his criminal past.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, now that we have...
walked the red carpet with Blair Underwood that day.
Who would that be?
I don't know. He's an actor who was big, I think, in the 90s.
Oh, okay.
I was told he was important. I don't know.
Out of all your name drops, that one probably was
the lamest,
the weakest. Yeah, but there's always time to make up for it. There's always another at bat. Hey, I wanted to bring something up here. We have an anti-Israel protester again, like Ilhan Omar's daughter. This is Barnard College. This woman was also suspended from the school and kicked out of her dormitory. And you know what she's doing, Jared? She's got a right to sing the blues, she said. Here's my issue. If you're going to go out and you're going to be part of a protest that's pro-Hamas and chanting death to America and chanting we are martyrs and chanting telling the police to kill themselves, don't turn on the waterworks when you get kicked out of your dorm. Like, if that's the road you're going to go, then have a little bit of gumption. Have a little bit of being able to put your money where your mouth is. Because everybody wants to be a protester, Jared. Everybody wants to be a radical. And then when they lose access to their cushy dorm at Columbia, they turn into these crybabies. And it's like, no, you can't have it both ways.
It's like the tent people we heard from where they were talking about how they told us if we, you know, did this, they were going to shut it off. But we thought they were bluffing. Well, they were not.
No. No, they were not bluffing. Can I get a little bit of violin, please? This is Maryam Iqbal, and she was among a handful of Barnard students, including Ilhan Omar's daughter, who got suspended from the college yesterday for their involvement in the Tent City encampment. She said, "I just got out of jail after Columbia called NYPD to mass arrest 100-plus students. I have been suspended and evicted from housing by Barnard. It's 2 a.m. I was forced to stand outside the gates for an entire hour waiting for someone to let me in. While the public safety, Barnard Public Safety, told me they are going above and beyond by even considering allowing me into my own room for 15 minutes. I haphazardly packed and have left. Giving us 15 minutes to pack up and leave from our housing is seriously twisted." Word she used, seriously twisted. "I'm not surprised at all. I'm glad the administration is finally showing their face to the general student body." Yeah, they're the ones. The mask is really dropped on the people kicking you out of your dorm. "Because student organizers have known from the start how evil these administrators are." Ah, well, well, well. Stay strong, girl. I guess, you know, everything comes with a price. You're going to go out, you're going to protest, you're going to say death to America, or, you know, we are Hamas, or whatever this encampment was chanting. And it's all going to get lumped in together. Like, you can say to me, oh, no, 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 this section of the camp, of the encampment, wasn't saying that. They were saying they were there for pro-Palestinian. Listen, they're at a point now with the J6 situation where they're trying to charge people who never even entered the Capitol. So I would argue that you just got to be careful about what activities and what activism and demonstrations you take part in, because it just takes one rotten apple. And in this case, there seems to be plenty of rotten apples. So I don't feel bad for the students who are getting kicked out of their dorms. I'm sure you'll be fine. I'm sure that there will be some sort of GoFundMe or some sort of bailout where you will get like Airbnb or something will hop in to save the day and say to all the people who got suspended or are having trouble getting into their dorms, we have your back. Just a matter of time. Now, I did want to mention here Al Roker, because this is an interesting story. And I kind of want your take, Jared, because now that we know that you're such a pro in the entertainment biz. Lawsuit claims Al Roker circumvented DEI quotas on PBS kids show Weather Hunters, fired producer for objecting. So this suit, this is from Breitbart, the suit alleges black writers were brought in merely to touch up scripts written by white staffers in order to give the appearance of a diverse writer's room. Bill Schultz, he's written for The Simpsons and King of the Hill. He filed the suit this week in a New York federal court claiming Al Roker Entertainment. I didn't even know Al Roker had an entertainment company. That's how out of the loop I am. Callously disregarded a DEI program mandated by PBS for the show Weather Hunters. Schultz's lawsuit contends that Al Roker Entertainment executives had complete authority to manage the series and ended up treating PBS's DEI policy as discretionary and an obstacle to be circumvented. Who could have seen that one coming? Hoist by your own petard. Like, this is a situation where everybody wanted DEI to be implemented into all of these different industries. And the truth is that they don't actually want to have to adhere to the DEI requirements, so they're trying to find shortcuts around it. So, yeah, Al Roker, you are going to be dealing with a lawsuit if that's the road you chose to go down.
Yeah, it's reminiscent of the Rooney Rule in NFL coach hiring, that you have to interview a black candidate in the interview process before you can make a decision. Or, you know, there's some succession plans that can skirt around that. But so what is Weather Hunters? Was this like a scripted show?
I think it's a cartoon.
Oh, it's a cartoon?
It's a kid's cartoon, yeah.
Oh, all right.
But this is my favorite part. Schultz, who's bringing this lawsuit, alleges that Roker's company treated DEI as a box to be checked in the most expedient manner possible.
Every noun and verb of that statement is accurate.
Yeah.
That is literally what DEI is.
I hate to break it to Schultz, but I think that's how most companies are treating DEI, as a box to be checked. Like, let's make sure same with ESG. Let's make sure we follow the rules so we don't get dinged, so we don't get in trouble, so we don't get canceled. And let's focus on all of these things except for, you know, actually the product we're producing or the business that we're running. Let's focus on all of these boxes to make sure we check them, to make sure nobody gets mad at us. I think that's a pretty common theme with a lot of these stories at this point. 844-500-4242. Before we go to break here, Jared, you pulled a lot of sound, and I'm always intrigued when I don't request sound, but you pull it anyway, of Senator Rand Paul. So you must have thought this was strong sound that we should play. So Senator Rand Paul is involved in these Mayorkas impeachment proceedings, and he decided to question Mayorkas about Lake and Riley's killer. So, Jared, I want you to choose which cuts we should play. We're not going to have time for all of them, but give us some of the best.
The perpetrator of this heinous criminal act needs to meet justice to the fullest extent of the law, and I will not comment on the particulars of the case because the matter is being prosecuted by authorities now.
This isn't on the case of whether or not he murdered her. This is on the case of why you paroled him. Why was he paroled?
My same answer, Ranking Member
Ball. You're refusing to answer the question?
I have provided my answer, Ranking Member Ball.
You're refusing to give any specifics about Jose Ibarra. Well, I have the documentation, and the document says that the subject, the person accused of killing Lakin Riley, was paroled due to detention capacity. It was full.
Yeah, this is the sources and methods. The more I read about all these different tentacles of our government and all this corruption and all this incompetence, the more I'm realizing that this cop-out of I can't tell you that because it's classified or it's dangerous or you're not allowed to know that, the case is ongoing, it's utilized all the time. Like yesterday we had on, when we were talking about the FISA courts, or maybe it wasn't yesterday, we were discussing it with, I think it was John Daniel Davidson, and talking about how, oh no, I'm sorry, it was Chris Bedford. We were talking about how the skiff is used in the case with Mike Johnson and all these foreign aid deals, and how he got this intelligence briefing and all of a sudden he changed his tune on everything about securing our border, about using that as leverage before we give Ukraine funding and all this other funding to all these other countries around the world. And something changed when the skiff brought him in and told him, you know, this is stuff that you can't tell anyone else. You can't confirm it. It's classified. It's top secret. But you have to believe us because Americans are going to die if you don't do what we want. And I didn't know this because I'm, you know, fairly naive when it comes to the deep state. But I guess this happens a lot. And like Tucker Carlson's commented on it before, that it's used as this leash to put a lot of pressure on, I think most of the time, Republicans, that, hey, if you don't do what we tell you to do, there will be massive consequences. But the other part of it, too, that I think politicians use to their favor, like Mike Johnson, is you leave this briefing and you go, I can't tell you what it is, but I can assure you that it's dangerous and we need to give them all the money they want. But I can't tell you why. It's like, well, isn't that convenient for you? You don't have to explain it, but if we don't do it, we're all going to be in danger. Huh? And then in the case of Mayorkas, you want to get an answer on this murderer who came in, this animal, as Donald Trump was, you know, got in so much trouble for saying, who came in and bashed Lakin Riley's skull in. And if you want those answers, it's, well, you know, we can't jeopardize, you know, the information is, you know, and I know there's nothing we can do to change that. Like, this is always going to be the cop out and it always has been, but it drives me crazy. Because it's like, Lakin Riley's dead. So why don't you just tell us about what you know? You've already failed her. You failed her family. You failed this country. You failed the American voters. Why don't you just tell us what you know so we can try to avoid this from happening again and again and again and again? Go ahead, Jerry. Play the next one.
You have testified previously, and you have testified today, that there are two reasons you can be paroled: urgent humanitarian need or significant public benefit. That's not the reason listed. The reason listed is parole due to detention capacity. Is parole due to detention capacity a lawful reason for paroling someone?
Ranking Member Paul, there are different bases for parole. I am not a legal expert in this regard, but let me assure you that when an individual is encountered at the border, and they are deemed to be, at the time of encounter, a threat to public safety or national security, they are a priority for detention. If not, they receive a notice to appear and are placed in immigration enforcement proceedings.
You know what I could do with a little less of is the assuring us of things. Do you notice that with these Biden administration officials? Whenever they want to make it clear that they're clutching their pearls, or they disagree vehemently with whatever these Republican senators or congresspeople are questioning them with, they always say, let me assure you that we're doing everything we can. Let me assure you that every measure and every precaution is being taken. Let me assure you we're going above and beyond. We take this very seriously. Then why is all this stuff happening under your watch? Stop assuring me of what a great job you're doing and start explaining why everything is going to hell. 844-500-4242. When we come back, Howie Carr joins us for this Friday crossover. You are not going to want to go anywhere. The Grace Curley Show on the other side.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show, and thank you for joining us. Also joining us is Howie Carr. Howie, first I wanted your response. So Karine Jean-Pierre is at the podium as we speak, and she's remarking on, you know, all sorts of different issues. But as usual, she's not really telling us anything. How strange is it for a press secretary for the United States not to comment on Israel responding to Iran's attacks over the weekend with these limited strikes? She has nothing to report on that from the podium.
Well, she has nothing to report on anything. I mean, she can't be trusted with anything that serious. I mean, she can't be trusted with telling you what kind of ice cream he's having, you know? She can't be trusting him to tell you why he had to specifically tell the guy at Wawa that he was giving him a tip. Or why Joe couldn't shut the box at the Wawa yesterday.
Yeah,
she knows that. I mean, nobody at this administration has any clue what's going on.
Howie, did you hear that the cannibal academics have had it with Joe Biden? This is
I thought. I got to get that story. I still haven't got that story from the Daily Mail.
It says outraged Papua New Guinea academics lash out at Biden's unacceptable suggestion that cannibals ate his World War II pilot uncle.
Yeah, they were angry, but the governor said, "I can't stop laughing."
I know, but it's like
I think he had the more common reaction.
Yeah. But yet another voting bloc disappointed in Joe Biden. Hey, Howie, one story that I wanted to ask you, because I know you're going to cover all of this when your show starts in just a few moments here. But I did want to ask what you make of Gold Bar Bob Menendez potentially flipping on his wife, Bubbles Gold Bar, Mrs. Menendez, or whatever her name is. What do you make of this? He might turn on her. I thought he would be a stand-up guy.
Well, I never would think anybody's a stand-up guy anymore. But, I mean, what about the spousal privilege? You know, I seen people get married so they didn't have to testify against each other. You know? I mean, this is kind of a new low. I mean, can't her lawyer go in there and say, he can't testify against me? We're married. I mean, I know they've breached the attorney-client privilege, but a priest and confessor, but this is a whole another tradition that's going by the boards here, isn't it?
Yeah, and I worry about these couples. Like, there are some couples that I really thought were going to stand the test of time. Fannie Willis and Nathan Wade, Bob Menendez and his wife Bubbles. And it seems like these...
But it's money, though, again, in both of these cases. It's always about money.
Yeah, and the court cases, Howie, I do think they put a lot of pressure on a relationship. And they can't withstand it. They can't take the heat.
That's true. There's an old saying, you know, adversity often brings two people closer together, but not when they are of opposite sexes. I found that to be true as well.
Howie Carr has a great show planned. We've got Police Blotter Facts Friday. We've got so much to talk about in Howie's show coming up just after this break. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in today, for tuning in this week. If you missed any of our podcasts, we had some great guests this week. You can check them out wherever you get your podcasts. TGIF. Enjoy the weekend, everybody. We'll be back Monday with more. Have a great one.